DMTWclothing.com. Don't make this weird. Whatever it is that you do in life, again, do with your heart, chase your passions, and watch it become reality. That's what we're about.
You guys are going to find some cool items, some MMCast items for sale here in the next 3 weeks. They'll be all launched, and next, you know, more conventions, things like that. So,
welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Mars.
And welcome back to Masters of Marm. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's everybody? Let's get a round of applause! We're going to be doing the top 10 modern cards, our favorite modern cards of all time. Tonight, we're here live at LA Live. Let's get a hand of round of applause for LA Live right now. Let's go! I know that's louder than we normally are, but we're excited. It's GPLA,
it
man.
It has to be loud. There's
everybody's
no speaker,
here.
So we have to yell so people in the back can hear us.
Yeah,
can you hear us in the back?
Can you hear us in the back?
Yeah, cool. Okay.
We got a yes. We got a
we got a yes.
We got an emphatic yes.
So, who played at GPLA today?
All right.
Did we have fun?
Solid turnout.
Did anyone day two? I love
those drops. Oh, I see one.
We got one.
We had a feature match here. This young fella right here. What's your name, sir?
Jack.
Jack, how did your tournament go today?
I went 5-4, which is pretty good considering what I've been doing the last three times.
And you got a feature match, am I right?
Yes.
Had you ever gotten a feature match before?
No.
And how old are you?
9.
I am so proud of you, Jack. Thank you for attending the podcast live. This is amazing. Thank you so much. What deck did you play?
Green Red Tron.
Jack played Green Red Tron. Can we get a round of applause for Jack right now? Excellent, guys. So as I mentioned, this is going to be the top 10 favorite modern cards from Alex and I all time. This will be going out next week, so if you're here, you can hear it. Next week, you can hear it live, online. Of course, I should remind everybody that, of course, we are on RocketJump.com. We have a sister podcast, The Command Zone. They're actually also here. Everyone loves The Command Zone. Round of applause for The Command Zone right now. Go! Everyone loves The Command Zone. Those guys are here, Jimmy and Josh. You can meet them tomorrow. They're at the tournament site. So
They'll be here.
Yeah, they're probably here in like an hour. So
Yeah.
Of course, Kessler and I personally are on Twitter. So I'm Ben Bateman Media. He is Kess Wiley.
Yeah, and we're at the MMCast.
We're at the MMCast.
I feel like Twitter shout-outs in the middle during a live show is not exactly the way
we got to do it. We got to do it. And you guys are amazing because we have a Patreon. You keep it going. So we're going to get into the show.
All right, so what's your number 10?
We're going to go straight into it?
Yeah.
Why don't you go? Right, I got to open my phone.
All right, so my number 10.
Wait, I want to clarify something.
Yes.
This is our top 10 favorite modern cards. So this is not the best. These are not the most powerful. This is by no means the most tournament playable cards of all time. If you listen to the podcast, you know I like some cards that are, you know, a little
Architect.
No. Come on now. Let's not throw some shade. This is these are cards that are beyond favorites. It's everything and all the in between. But I just want everybody to know it's not going to be like Lightning Bolt and Serum Visions and Tarmogoyf. Like
you know that. Speaking of these things, Spellskite is no longer the most played creature in Modern.
Oh, it should be.
Since Splinter Twin went away, it's now like number 8.
Well,
Tarmogoyf has Tarmogoyf. Oh, it's like number 5 creature.
Yeah, it's a lapse in judgment. People will figure it out.
All right. So number 10, am I going first?
Go ahead.
All right, so mine's the best blocker in the format.
Okay.
It's got Dredge 5. It's flying. It doesn't have Death Touch, but it kind of has it. Stinkweed Imp.
Wow, Stinkweed Imp. On your list, Stinkweed Imp.
Yes.
So Alex has gone with a Dredge creature.
Does that surprise anyone?
No, but okay. how many times have we talked about Stinkweed Imp on the podcast? Like 4?
Yeah, well, because I like it more than Golgari Graveshoal. 6 is bigger than 5, but it kills. It's like a Doomblade that draws you 5 cards.
I mean, yeah, it has its virtues. I'll give you that. I've never even once tried to brew a Stinkweed Imp.
That's
ever.
A mistake.
Well,
get on that.
All right. So, how did Dredge do this weekend? You think? I mean, people were excited to play it, but it kind of got like graveyard hated out. I feel like I haven't seen the results.
I don't
know. Yet.
We won't. Yeah,
a lot of really good.
We got
players.
Here before the tournament was done, so I have no idea.
A lot of very good players played Dredge.
Yeah, my whole Dredge deck has been lent out to people for them to play it.
Yeah.
I let it go into the wild and let better Magic players kind of get.
So
to
I'm gonna choose a creature that is I think quite a bit better than Stinkweed Imp. I mean, I don't know why you would choose something that was so unplayable in Modern. My creature is a little creature I like to call. Haunted Horror! Whammy! Yeah, you guys don't know what that card is. That's fair. It's
Wait. I want someone from the audience to explain it.
Yeah.
Who knows what it is? All right, come here.
Come here, audience member.
Hunted Horror is a 2 black 7/7 with trample that gives your opponents 2 3/3 green centaurs.
They have protection from black, by the way.
Yes.
All right. What's your name?
Neil Riley.
All right, cool.
So let's just focus on the positive.
Why is this card good?
It's a 7/7 trample for 2, okay? I had a deck built around this card for a long time that I love. The point is, if you stifle the trigger, not actually stifle, but like Sundial of the Infinite or like Torpor Orb or like anything that makes it not happen, it's a very potent, very powerful effect that can be augmented by other things. Obviously, it's not as good as an actual power card, but this is favorites, guys.
Right, well, I'm going to save you a little effort. My number 9 helps you deal with these tokens.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
All right.
I played at 1 or maybe 2 Grand Prix playing 4 of this card in my main deck. I love this card.
We should all shake our heads in disdain.
This card has a real place in Modern. Like, it's actually competitive if you build your deck around it. So it's not a good card, but it's an awesome card. Hunted Horror is my number 10 card. Hunted Phantasm is also good if you play Blood Artist. All right, I'm going deep. Anyway, back to Kessler, number 9. What do you got?
All right, Engineer Explosives.
Yeah, so that's a good card and was also in my deck.
Yeah, no, I was saying, you can use the Engineer Explosives to get rid of these protection from things centaurs that you somehow made for your opponent.
Right, I mean, like, either one of them. Imagine you have Blood Artist.
No, we're done with that. So mine's good because you can loop it with Academy of Ruins and just kill every deck, all the spells.
But you can't get rid of Emrakul unless you proliferate, like, 15 times.
Which, hey, I've done it.
You have never proliferated.
You're right, I haven't.
Into killing an Emrakul.
I have not. No. I've gone to 5. I've gone to 6. I've done the 6 Engineer Explosives.
What was your preferred proliferate method?
Contagion Clasp.
In Modern?
Well, it's the only one in Modern that you should play.
I mean, I love Contagion Clasp, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I play that in Standard. Half the cards really? In my deck cards in my deck like relate to that. Like, come on, you know some cards from my deck that I could definitely like use to cast that.
All right.
I'm a fan.
What's your number 9?
Okay, my number 9, I believe, is a card called Jorah of the Gitu. It's actually a commander card, I think. I mean, really, like, it's not a card anybody would play in Modern. I'm gonna make sure that's right. Yes, Jorah of the Gitu. I got back into Modern into Magic in 2007.
People aren't enthused.
They don't like Jorah? Come on, nobody here likes Jorah? Yeah, I know you do. Come on. Everybody likes Jorah.
Yeah, even that.
I went to my first pre-release in years in 2007. I remember opening a Jorah, a Pact of Negation, one of the other bad pacts.
The white one?
I 4-0'd it, and I won, like, 18 packs. It was super exciting. I was like, Magic is so sweet. These cards are so cool. They're so unique and different. Interesting. I had 2 Tarmogoyfs. I traded them away for nothing. I was a fan. So Joyra, though, is just it's a unique card. It's such a fun card. I would never probably be able to play it in Modern unless I was playing, like, Rift Elemental or something. But, like, it's not actually powerful, but I love it. I have a total love affair with Joyra. I think it's legitimately Fury Charm, Time Crafting, Shivan Sand Mage. There's all these cards that like try to mess with it.
I feel like Emrakul is just the thing you should try and get in.
No, I'm saying to reduce the counters.
Oh.
Yeah. Like it's fine. Like I think you can make Joyra work, but I'm a fan of that card. It's not a Modern playable card. Trust me, my number 4 is definitely not Modern playable. It's in the same wheelhouse. So.
All right, what's your number 8?
No, that was my number 9. You got to go. Never mind.
No, you're going 8 now.
Why?
Do 2 in a row.
Because you have something you don't want to share?
I'm forcing it to happen.
Do it.
He wasn't prepared.
All right. Number 8, a recent fan favorite of the MM cast, Mirror Superior. Round of applause.
What is Mirror Superior?
It is a 5/6 artifact creature, a mirror that you can only cast using mana created from creatures. So the beauty of this card...
Just you can't use land mana.
Yeah. It's only cast from creature. Only cast
creatures?
From mana created by creatures.
Yeah.
So nobody's ever going to, like, double Birds of Paradise Mirror Superior. That does not happen. But you could possibly, like, Collected Company or, like, Profane Command or, like, Liliana of the Veil or, like... No, sorry, the other Liliana. Dark Realms. The one...
You can't do it with Dark Realms either.
Heretical Healer. Whammy.
I don't know.
Anything that references casting cost gets Mirror Superior into play. Burning Tree Emissary was the deck I talked about last summer a lot. Like, the card's powerful.
I had 2 people come up to me today and be like, hey, look at my deck. They had Superior Burning Coco.
Are you Ben Payman? Did you? No.
Yeah.
I'm Alex Kessler, because I had a lot of people ask me if I was Alex Kessler. So.
Really?
Yeah. Because you guys don't know what we look like, because we just sound like people. We've we've never done anything on video, ever. So, like, you're just like, I don't know who you are. He says sure, sure, sure a lot. Like, that's all that happens. Keep going.
I've noticed that you say some of these sure, sures. It's on me. All right.
Yeah.
So, my number eight, Tellaria West. And I realized I actually, my nine and eight, I played four of both today in the GP. But, so, Tellaria West, let me talk about the greatness. First off, you can find Engineer Explosives.
It's another Future Sight card, by the way.
It's another Future Sight card. Yeah. You can find another land, if you need to.
Sure.
You can find a Pact of Negation. Actually, any of the packs. Really, the packs. Those are the kind of the cool thing.
Future Sight
worst,
just is
a really good
set,
terror.
By the way. Like, it's just a rad set, yeah.
Yeah, no. Future Sight is the best. All right. That's pretty, I feel like everyone understands why Tellaria West is great.
I mean...
It was in the Amulet Bloom deck. Yeah.
I mean, that was the big moment for it, but like...
Today, when I played it in my Tesserator deck, was the big moment for it. Thank you very much.
How did that record go for you? It was like 6-0.
I went 10-0. I haven't lost a match.
No, I mean, I love Tellaria West. I've always been a fan, and obviously the bounce lands make Tellaria West 100 times better, but with the banning of Amulet Bloom and that not being a viable deck anymore, that definitely takes away from it a little bit. So
if you hear some weird music going on behind us, it's because we're actually live at LA Live, and there's big TVs playing Staples Center
Once again,
advertisement.
Right?
Yeah!
Those are real people. It's not like an audio track that we found. We're just like on a street by ourselves, just like, scream at us! All right, so... What's your number eight?
All right, my number seven is
or
a
seven.
No, my number seven is an actual card. So you guys probably have played with this card. It's not actually bad, like Superion. This is Vendilion Click, right? Come on, can we get a round of applause for Vendilion Click? I have no real cards. This is like my only one.
Please, yes.
All right, two people. I should pick more bad cards. They get better round of applause.
Yeah.
Vendilion Click is a 3/1 flyer. It's legendary. It has flash. It costs blue colorless. It's a fairy. It's just like a really powerful card. Like when this card was printed, everybody was like, wow, like that's a really good effect. They don't actually, like they print 3/1 flyers with a flash at common that don't do anything.
And this Vendilion Click was brought to you by Coca-Cola.
It's one of my favorites. The weirdest thing about Vendilion Click for me has always been that I don't really understand why it's always a one or two of. I get that it's legendary, but it never seems like decks are just like, I'm all in on Vendilion Click. This is just the best threat I can play. You know, Noble Hierarch into Vendilion Click. It never happens. Like, it's just like, this will be a one of in my main deck and a one of in my sideboard. And I'm always like, this card's so good. Why is it not like a mainstay? And I think it's probably because Lightning Bolt and Electrolyze, like, just kind of gets housed a little bit.
I feel bad because like every card you pick, you're like, there's like a very sad story about why isn't this card greater? And I'm just like, yeah, Tellaria West is great.
I'm the underdog, man. Can you just give me a reason?
Well, I mean, Vendilion Click's, I don't feel like you could be the underdog with Vendilion Click.
That's like a really good card.
Yeah. All right. So my number seven, and as a little bit of a spoiler, this will not be the last time you see of him on this list. Venser the Sojourner.
What?
5 mana.
I thought you were going to say Shaper Savant. I was like, okay, that's Kessler. You picked the 5-drop in Modern?
I may have picked both. But we're at 5 right now, all right? My number, what slide is this? 7, all right? So for those who don't know, this is the blue-white Planeswalker, the original. He's dead now. one single tier for him.
You're not even playing Stonehorde Dignitary on your list. How is he even on your list?
Well, I mean, because he's kind of inside. So Stonehorde Dignitary is not the best thing, but one of the things you can do where you completely turn off their attack step. And personally, I hate the attack step. Raise your hand and scream if you hate the attack step. That was not enough people.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are all red players.
They're not impressed.
All right, so... He also makes Geists unblockable, which is important.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, that's really good.
He also can bounce his other self to just keep people locked out of lands.
Sure.
He does all the things. Everything you could ever want out of a card. Best Planeswalker out there.
It's fair.
He's also dead. All right. What's where are we at? 7? Go to 6. Do number 6.
All right. I'm loading it up. One more question, guys. We're going to take fan questions. As soon as we're done with this one, we're going to take fan questions.
And when we do fan questions, you need your name, your favorite card.
Of all time.
Your favorite name of all time?
No, your favorite card of all time.
Favorite name, favorite card, and a question. That's up to you.
My number 6 is Ethervile.
Okay, Ethervile. Our number 6s are really good.
So if you guys have listened to the podcast, you know that we did a whole deal last summer where I was playing this Aether Vial Collected Company deck with Mirror Superior, and I was really pushing it hard. I think Aether Vial, for the one mana you can get it on turn one, is such an advantage. If you can figure out the right way to play it, it's just, I mean, everybody knows this. It's good in Merfolk. It's good in Hate Bears. It's a mana cheat.
True.
It's good in Legacy. Like, it's a really good card.
It is interesting how underrated Aether Vial had been in Modern until, like, the last year.
I mean, it's just, Aether Vial is amazing because two things. You can cheat mana, but also getting sorcery speed effects, ETB effects, at instant speed.
My round one today was against a guy who was Aether Vialing in, what's the blinky 3-1 that flies?
Yeah, Flickerwisp.
Flickerwisp.
So, I mean,
I didn't even say that.
Or what about Vialing and Scab Ruinator? What do you guys think about that? Can I get a round of applause for Scab Ruinator?
No. It's a dredge card, and
yeah,
I don't even like
it. I tried pretty hard for that one. It didn't work at all. All right.
My number six. This is a good card. His is a good card, so I'm going to get my good card in. Lingering Souls.
Real exciting, Kessler.
Yeah.
Real exciting.
It's really exciting when you just discard it and get a 2-mana Lingering Souls. It's like a draw. It has madness while also being a flashback. Who doesn't love that?
Right. I mean, Lingering Souls is just a good card in Modern. Like, it's that's probably the least sexy good card you can possibly pick. Like, that's like,
what are you talking about? It's got. Look how cool it looks.
That's like, I'm gonna pick Basic Island as my number six. I like blue cards, so Basic Island's really good. It casts Seer Visions on turn one.
I guarantee it's a really person good. Was gonna come up say that was their favorite card, and you just stole their joke. How do you feel? All right, so that's number six. Ready for some fan?
Fan questions.
All right, raise your hand if you want to go.
Yeah,
all right,
go
over here.
Boom, we're going right here. We're going local first. All right, so the first question is, sir, and you introduced yourself once, but we're going to go again. First of all, tell us your full name.
My name is Jack Landis.
Jack Landis. I've recognized the name. Have you interacted with us on the podcast before?
Yes, in this one particularly.
All right, fantastic. So what is your favorite Modern card of all time? It's a big question.
I'm probably going to have to go with Emrakul.
That's a solid pick. It's a solid pick. It kills people pretty much immediately. Have you won some tournament Magic games playing Emrakul before?
No, actually.
Never, ever?
Nope.
Wow.
I do play Tron, but I don't play it with Emrakul, sadly.
You don't play Emrakul in your Tron deck?
Because Iavugan's gone.
No, it's
so
just
sad.
Without Iavugan, there's just...
Yeah.
There's just no guaranteeing that you're going to get 15 mana.
That's fair enough. Okay, so can I ask you quickly, what would be your favorite card to play in Modern that you think is actually not good enough to play, but you just think is awesome and you'd like to play? Like, what's your pet card?
Ring of Three Wishes.
Ring of Three Wishes?
Oh!
Wait, I got a foil copy right here. Right, look at this. Isn't that amazing? There was someone holding it. It's like your favorite card.
I think he's giving it to him.
Oh.
He gets that.
Boom. Gift. Foil Ring of Three Wishes for you, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Round of applause. Come on, guys.
Okay. All right. Next question. All right. Here. Okay. First, your name.
My name's Andy Cooper.
What's your favorite card?
In Modern, it's going to have to be Swerve.
Oh,
Swerve.
Sweet.
Yes.
Blue, red,
yes.
I love it.
So my entire goal, and this never happened, and I'm very sad because they banned Splinter Twin, which I'm just completely against, was to actually swerve someone's Splinter Twin onto my own Deceiver Exarch.
You're still on board.
And I played this tech main deck for almost 2 years and then just never made it happen, and I'm very sad. My question for you is if you're, it relates to Aether Vial here, all right? You're playing Fish. You've got Aether Vial in.
Yeah.
Can you think of, let's even say it's a red-blue version of Fish, a
sure.
reason to tick it to five?
Oh. In red-blue?
Is this a quiz, or is there
it's more of a quiz, because there's a good answer for it.
Five red Murphy.
I mean, like, okay, no, like blue.
Wait, does it rhyme with Cavern Dark Dwellers?
It does not.
Okay, I got nothing.
Like, I mean, you could like, try to go with some sort of, like, Kiki Jiki.
Karanos.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. Got it.
Yes. All kinds of sick. I
like it. Wait, but you just like Vial in Karanos, but then.
But he's a creature because you're. It's all the devotion.
No, I mean, I get
there.
That. I get
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So it's like a 6/7.
It's against control. It's great.
You Vial in Karanos on five. Like there's
yes.
Like, there's no like. There's like clever trick. It's like
no. You just bring in
you
Karanos,
just get a Karanos
and then just get the bolts every turn or the extra cards.
But why not just
get you there?
Cast.
Yeah. Why not just cast Karanos?
Oh, because you're not playing red.
Because you're not. Well, you either aren't playing red or you just don't want it countered.
Right.
Okay.
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a fair point.
Fair
it's a fair
enough.
Point.
All right.
I mean, look, I have nothing wrong with violing in Keranos and not being countered, so.
Wait. I can get aboard. Are you playing Contagion Class to get it up there quicker?
No, but I like this idea.
Okay,
I
see,
would
right,
even
cool.
consider
We're on
playing
board.
Resonator.
All right. Yeah. Oh, right yeah. There yeah, we go. All right. Resonator. One more question over here.
Hi. My name's Kenny.
Okay. Favorite card?
Cranko Mob Boss.
Sick.
Love it. Love it.
My question is, what is each of yours most important thing to you? Like, what's your favorite thing that's happened to you since you started this podcast? Like.
Oh, I know. I think we have the same one.
Yeah. Okay. So he's not here now.
There we so
oh wait, what do I got to? You do that one. I got a different one.
Okay, so this actually happened to Kessler, but like for me, and we've talked about this on the podcast. So if you listen, you know. But he was in Detroit like 2 months ago, and the GP had a special playmat, and the playmat. You think really hard right now because you got to come with something better. So the playmat was like basically the special playmat that if you won like a VIP event, you got it, and it was a freaking Spellskite playmat. Spellskite's like. I'm not going to say right now. It's one of my top cards. I love it. And it's amazing. And this fan of ours, who is amazing, who if I had his name in front of me, I would just like shout him out right now because he's incredible, found Kessler. I wasn't there. And he was like, hey, dude, so I'm a fan of the podcast. And I got a couple of these mats. And you know what? I want to give them to you and Ben as a gift because I love your podcast so much. And I know these are kind of VIP mats, but it's really special to me to give these to you. And he gave them to Kessler, so we each have one. I have one in my bag here. I use it all the time. It is the single coolest thing that's happened to me since I started the podcast. And some cool stuff has happened, but like that is the most touching thing.
This is one of those cool things. So shout out to all you guys for being here.
Yeah.
We're going to get as many
Live
of those
podcast.
Shout outs as possible.
Yeah.
All right.
14,
I got
15.
Mine. All right. So this was early on in our, like, this is within the first year of podcasting. I was at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yep.
I had never been recognized for a magic thing that I've created in my life at this point. And I'm at San Diego Comic-Con, and someone recognized my laugh, and that was Edward Killian and Noah Killian, who were here earlier.
Yeah.
And, like, little kid, I gave him the signed top-decking tokens of the germ your vampire token, and he, like, freaked out, and, like, he giggled and, like, ran off. And it was like, okay, I've achieved my goal.
I mean, to that end, like, today at the tournament, I was doing coverage for Machinima on, like, a pro magic piece, and those same folks came up, and he was like, can I get my picture with you? And I was like, there's this kid and his dad, and they want to get a picture with me. And, like, when I was a kid, my dad and I watched Star Wars. And if I had ever met Mark Hamill, my mind would have been freaking blown. So I lost my mind. Like, I tweeted this. I was like, I think I fanboyed out more on him than he fanboyed out on me. Because, like, I kind of lost it. Like, we'd speak to a small audience, but it's a special audience.
Yeah, you guys.
You guys are the best.
Got another woo. Love these things.
So
all right,
we're getting to the top five.
All right, so yeah, those are the first two questions. All right, so I'm going to go with my number five.
You want me to jump in?
No,
I got it.
You got
it, okay.
All right, so we've met him before on this list. This is the slightly cooler version, slightly more playable, Venser Shaper Savant.
Okay.
Yeah, see?
I like this Venser so much more than your other Venser.
They're both so good.
Your other Venser's trash. This
no,
is a good
he's amazing.
Venser.
Have you ever played with the other Venser?
I hate blue-eyed
Venser. You have Jorah on your list.
Jorah's sweeter. Costs three. You can play three in Modern.
No, she costs five. All right. So, for those who don't know, he's blue, two colorless.
Yeah.
He's the first thing that you could bounce a spell on the stack.
He was like a reman, but a creature.
Yeah, yeah. So you return a spell on the stack, or he comes into play and bounces a permanent.
Sure.
All these good things. He's really good against Emrakul.
He's also from Future Sight, by the way. How many more like examples do we need that Future Sight's the best set ever? You know, I think you can buy a box of Future Sight for like $1,200 now. It was so ridiculous. It was so overpowered.
Zendikar was dope.
Ridiculous. That, like, Future Sight's like...
What's a draft Future Sight?
I don't have any more Future Sights on my list. That's the last one.
I think I have a Planar Chaos.
Cool.
But
the sweetest thing I've ever done with Venser. Let's get on good stories.
Tell
the
story.
Playing Jeskai.
Yep.
Against Valakut.
Yep.
And he goes for it, unexpecting. I just bounce a mountain. And he's just like, and then I win.
And he was like, you're playing Venser?
Yeah, no one's
Come
expected.
On, man.
He's like the Spanish Inquisition. I'm not going to make the joke, but I said it.
All right, so I'm going to go with my number four. My number four is a very traditional card.
What's your
card.
Five?
My number five is a very traditional card. Delver of Secrets.
Really? Delver?
Everybody loves Delver. A lot like of the times when I've played in competitive tournaments and people are like, they joke about the cards I like, they will joke about Inquisition and Delver because I usually end up playing decks that play those two cards. Like, even if I have like a brew, like I will gravitate towards those two cards. Just because, like, I like Thoughtseize, but I get kind of entranced with not taking life. And Delver's just the best. I mean, Delver's the freaking best. Like,
is he?
It's so good. I mean,
it's slip all the
it's,
time.
It's rough in Modern because Serum Visions is not the best. You want Brainstorm and Ponder, obviously. But, like, I played Delver the whole time as in Standard. I've played Delver decks in Modern. It's just, I just love it. I love that it's kind of volatile, that people resent Delver. It's one of the greatest creatures ever printed. I think we can all agree on that. It's very powerful. It is volatile, but, like, you cannot argue Delver's not amazing. So it goes usually first in my mind. I've tried to build so many Nacaudle Goblin Guide Delver decks. All three in one. I want them all. I want them all. And it may happen at some point, but just not today. So that's my number five. Thank you. Golf pass, golf pass.
All right. So my number four, I think this is a more fun card. It's also good, I guess. It's also a black and white flashback card. On Barrel Rights.
Yeah, wow, in Modern. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. All right.
I love it.
All right. So something I've been trying to get to work for a very long time is a Dredge Vine list, but it's a junk Dredge Vine list.
Sure.
And you just have Elesh Norn in the sideboard with Umbrella Rites, and sometimes it gets in your graveyard. Or you have Sun Titan, and Sun Titan gets Knight of the Reliquary, who's giant because you have all those lands in your deck that just happen to fall in there.
Right.
It's sick.
I mean, Umbrella Rites is a really good card.
Plus, like, there's also the whole, like, Gifts Ungiven, tutor for it, comes into play.
I have 19 copies of Umbrella Rites. I have 7 copies of foil Umbrella Rites. They're not worth anything. I cannot understand how at this point it is not worth something. I'm like, this should be worth money at this point. Like, I also bought Curse of Death's Hold foils at one point, like 7 of them. I was like, this
Night of Souls Betrayal is better.
This was like 4 years ago. Okay. I was like, there has to be a reason. There has to be a way. I failed on both accounts. It's fine. It's totally cool.
Okay.
I'm totally cool with it.
What's your number four?
All right. I'm going to open it up right now. We're getting into the really good stuff, guys. You know, my ridiculous Planar Chaos card that I'm going to name, and most of you are not going to know what it is. It's going to come up pretty soon, but not quite yet, because my number four is Snapcaster Mage.
Aw, man.
Round of applause. I'm the only one. Snapcaster Mage is, I mean, what do I really say about Snap? It's like, it's the best creature
in Modern.
It's basically Snapcaster and Tarmogoyf are hand-in-hand as the best creatures in Modern. Like, as much as I want to be like, oh, you know, Goblin Dark Dwellers is better, or like, oh, Jace Vryn's Prodigy is my favorite, it's like, no, Snapcaster Mage has flash, and it's blue, and it's a creature with 2 power for 2. I mean, what more do you want? That card's ridiculous. Like, if I'm playing aggressive, I can just flash in a 2-1 for 2, and, like, it's not the worst, and it can get me back anything. That card's, I hope it's on your list, because
I love how that the speech you just gave was to a car chase with a couch for some ride at Universal Studios.
Right.
So it's like, oh man, Spellskite.
Everybody's like, what the hell are your 1, 2, and 3? The Snapcaster Mage is just too good. I mean, like, everybody knew it was too good. Right. And yeah, all right, there you all go.
So my number three, I'm going to get, I feel like, worst Glones?
So your number one's going to go first, isn't it?
What?
You're going to name your number one first, aren't you?
No, my number three.
No, but I'm saying you're one ahead of me. I just named my four.
Yeah, because I'm ahead of you.
All right, great.
I'm counting it. We're all counting us in the audience.
Okay, great. Yeah, keep going.
All right, my number three is Liliana of the Veil. Wow. You guys love her more than Snapcaster Mage. I just swooned a little bit.
What a cool three drop. It's so great.
All right, first off, you can take my number, what was it, five? My number four, five, six slot. And discard it, and then you get free Lingering Souls tokens.
I love when I was like, Kessler, we're going to do our favorite cards. Mine are going to be really, like, fun, and yours are going to be really, like, bad or really good, right? He's like, no, mine are not good. They're not good cards. I'm not going to do good cards.
You have Snapcaster Mage. I took 3 good cards.
It's fair. It's fair.
All right? 3.
I have no defense.
All right. So part of this is my best finish in Tournament Magic was an SEG Legacy event on Pox. I'm a terrible person, apparently. But Liliana Veil behind the back, because you know what's really cool? Dark Ritual into Liliana. This is something you can't do in Modern, but it's sweet.
Do you remember when I was playing like Heidi Ho Legacy and I played against Roger and he was like turn one, like he was like turn one Dark Ritual Liliana and I was like, counterspell. And he's like, life over. I was like, I win. I'm good at Legacy. This is sweet.
So let me back to Liliana in Modern. I've played this in Modern decks. I've played this in Mardu decks, not Modern decks. I've played it in Legacy decks. I've even played it in Dredge decks where you're using it as your discard outlet.
Sure.
It does everything you want. It's great.
Liliana's really good.
All right, what's your number three?
Okay, my number three, the guy, this is probably like my, this might be my favorite card of the whole list. I really want you guys to just think, when I say this, don't boo. Just think for a second, please. This is a card I like to call Chronozoa. Okay? If you listen to the podcast, you know that I love Chronozoa. It's from Planar Chaos. It's one blue, three colorless. It's Vanishing Three. It's a 3/3 flyer. When the last Vanishing Counter disappears, it doubles. It becomes two copies of Chronozoa. It's not a good card. I get that. You Hex Parasite, Vampire Hex Mage, Paradox Haze, all these things that try to speed it up, they're all bad. Like, I've tried so hard. I want this card to be good in Modern. The flavor-wise, I love it so much. It's like an amoeba. And it like
It's a time amoeba.
It moves actually with the counters. I'm not usually like a Vorthos or a flavor guy, but like this card is so awesome. It's not that good, but I think you could make it good. It's always been borderline good. Borderline. The fact that you can respond to the trigger is bad.
Which border?
The fact that you can lightning bolt in response to the last trigger is terrible. Terrible. But, like, there has to be a way. This will be my dying wish, is make Chronozoa good in Modern. I've tried forever. I have a foil, multiple foils. If you want to sign the foil, I don't even care if you did it. I'll just sign it. I'll be so happy. I love the card. I love it.
All right.
Moving on.
All right. So our number two slots.
I'm defeated.
Are pretty obvious. So do you want to do your number two first?
I'll get ahead of you. It's fine.
Okay.
I should make sure I ordered it correctly because it was really tough. I mean, like, everybody here knows what my number two and my number one are, but.
Who doesn't know who the two and one for each of us are? Okay.
Really?
All right.
Oh, great. And who knows exactly what my number two and my number one are?
Woo!
Well, there was only two and two, so it's great. My number two is a little creature I like to call Spellskite. Yes. A round of applause!
Yes!
Does
that mean you become number one?
I mean, Spellskite is, I have said, and I believe this from a strategy point of view, is the strongest creature in all of Modern. At this point, with Splinter Twin gone, it's a little harder to justify, but it's a 0/4 for two colorless that has an actual, essentially colorless ability to steal any aura.
It's a counter spell.
Any spell.
It blocks spells.
Ridiculous.
Someone else, I stole that joke from someone.
And if you get really, really, really creative and clever, like, Doran makes it a 4/4 for two. Like, it's just like, the card's ridiculous. It's colorless. You can play it in any deck. This should be the most played creature in Modern. It usually is. It's like in the top five or top eight.
It was
now.
The most played until Splinter Twin got banned, right. And then Eldrazi Winter happened, and now we're in a world where Tarmogoyf's the most played creature.
I have
followed
a spell-
by Kitchen Finks, followed by Snapcaster Mage, and now Spell.
I have a Spellskite playmat. I have a signed foil Spellskite. Spellskite's not quite my favorite card ever. I have one card I like more.
Is there a tier?
Spellskite is tier one, and my tier zero. If you listen to the podcast, you know my tier zero. It's not even logical. It just is what it is.
All right.
I love.
Do I do? Why don't you do your number one? And
no,
I'll do my
you
two.
Go.
Okay. My number two. Apparently, he might be replacing Avacyn as the protector of Innistrad. Someone said today to me, Geist of St. Traft.
If you guys sign up for the Patreon account that we do. Some of you, at least one of you, I hope, has four signed copies of Geist of St. Traft, because you would have gotten four copies of my number one card signed and four copies of his number one card signed last month.
Well,
that was the prize.
Two. But sure.
Yeah, sure. So,
all right. So moving on to what Mr. Geist can kind of do for you. It's unkillable, kind of. And it just does all the damage, and you can protect it and put stuff on it. And, like, I mean, I definitely fell in this love before Modern in, like, the Commander world.
We've even done, like, brews around it. We've, like, that.
Speaking of Sundial of the Infinites, also,
oh, yeah.
You can save the angels with Sundial.
You can save it. We had, like, a whole brew we did with, like, Steel of the Godhead, like, Meddling Mage, and, like, all these sweet cards to make, like, Geist of St. Traft amazing. Like, that card. And then there's, like, the new Geist enchantment that came out. Like,
I mean, that's not good, but it's cool.
It's not. You're absolutely right. It's not good. But
yeah. All right.
It's debatable.
All right. So number one, before we get into fan questions for both of us,
I know your number one. You know my number one.
And I think everyone else knows our number one.
Do you want rock paper scissors to do us first?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Ready? Rock.
Best out. Okay.
Best two or three?
No. We're on a podcast.
One.
Yeah. One. 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 Two. Three.
One. Two. Three.
Yes. All right.
So you first. You're first.
This goes along with number 10, Stinkweed Imp. A little bit, Liliana.
Sure.
Vendrine.
Yeah, of course. Welcome! Yeah! I want you guys to be so much louder when I say my number one, please. Please.
All right. So this has finally become a good card.
Yeah.
Like, people are playing it in this GP that are good at Magic.
Did you even say what it, did you say what it was?
Oh, no. It's Vendrine.
It's Vendrine.
That's why they cheered.
Yeah, okay.
And then... Now I'm crying. All right. So, Vendrine, 4-3, comes back whenever two creatures come to play. Sick with the Amalgam plan now because it's a zombie that can get the Gravecrawlers and it can kind of just chain everything together. It's awesome. I love graveyard strategies. If you couldn't tell based off half of my list is graveyard related.
If you're here listening to the podcast, like these top two cards are probably just like so like, it's even hard for us to talk about them because we've talked about them for like 90 episodes. But like, I get you. It's totally fair.
My 10 cards, 6 of them involve the graveyard somehow.
And of mine, like 7 of them are blue. So.
I mean, the other 4 are blue-white cards. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. What's your number one?
All right, guys. This is a card. I did my very first episode of the MM Cast a year and a half ago. It was episode 9. I took over the podcast. I did a deck tech on this card. This is a card that has combo implications. This has value implications. It is probably my favorite card of all time in Magic ever. Not even just Modern. I really want a loud round of applause. Introducing Grand Architect!
Was your clap louder than mine?
Slightly louder than yours, I hope.
Did the clap? Do we have a clap-o-meter?
I worked
is that a
really
thing that
hard
Does
for
Does anyone know
claps?
If those are actual hard. Science?
Guys.
The clap-o-meter.
I will admit, you know, Grand Architect is not as good of a card as Vengevine. This is not as good of a card as Spellskite. It's probably not even as good of a card as Chronozoa, honestly. Like, no, it's not true.
No, that's better than Chronozoa.
This is a 1-3 Vedalken Artificer for blue colorless. He has several abilities. One, tap an untapped blue creature you control, add 2 colorless to your mana pool to generate artifact abilities or cast artifact spells. Other blue creatures get +1/+1. It's kind of like Deathrite Shaman in the sense that it does a million things. Like,
it's good in the early game and good in the late game.
If Deathrite Shaman could be on my list, Deathrite Shaman would probably be my number 3 card. Like, it was there, I cut it. Like, it's a complicated, unique card that does a million things. It's hard to use Grand Architect, don't get me wrong. It's amazing, but it is hard to use. I don't know why, whatever reason, it has a very special place in my heart. I've always loved Grand Architect. It's just a unique and interesting card. Nothing else does what it does. It's not competitive. It's not tier 1. It's just awesome. If you're a brewer, I have a hard time imagining you ever looked at this card and didn't think about building a deck around it. Honestly, this is a brewer's card. You probably looked at this and said, oh, I can break this card. So that's how I feel about it. That's okay. Our top 10.
Well, you know, Pili Pala, and it won a GPT last night. Or not, one of the Grand Prix trials.
So it also goes infinite and generates infinite mana with Pili Pala if Pili Pala can untap. So, I mean, if you have something that can take advantage of that, I've tried to build the deck a million times with, you know, Gifts Ungiven, Collected Company. I've tried so many things, but it's an awesome card. I mean, look, I have a signed foil.
I have a question for you. If you had to pick one Legacy card,
ever
that is not legal in Modern, but you get one, which one would you pick?
Force of Will or Deathrite Shaman?
Oh, not Baleful Strix.
Baleful Strix was almost on this list because I like just forgot that it wasn't in Modern. Like, but I love Baleful Strix. But I mean, if I was gonna go Legacy, it would have to be one of those two. Like,
okay,
yeah. What about you?
All right, Stoneforge Mystic.
Good choice, bro.
I have played Stoneforge Mystic in every format I've been allowed to play.
It's fair.
Including Standard before Scars of Meriden.
My biggest regret of not playing in the event today and doing this Machinima thing was I didn't get a Stoneforge Mystic. That's my biggest regret, honestly.
Oh, so I thought I lost my box, but it was in the sound bag, so I found it again, and my heart bloomed in happiness.
The vintage, my story today was that the Vintage Magic guys gave me a Force of Will. He was like, hey, here's a gift. I was like, okay, this is the best thing of my whole day. You gave me a freaking... He's like, here's a gift. I was like, all right, great. I do not deserve this at all, so...
I got a Dr. Pepper. It was great. All right, so we have about 10 minutes left. We're going to get questions just for that entire time and just keep going. So who wants to ask a question? All right, you're closer to me, so you get to go first.
So name, favorite card,
question.
So I'm Sam.
Hi, Sam.
Can I combine two cards?
You can cheat.
Look, Sam, do what you got to do, man. Yeah.
Life from the Loam and Knight of the Reliquary.
Oh, those are high cards. Those are just cut off. Oh, man. All right, you're the best.
You should have talked about them.
You got a high five. Yes. That's a lesson to everyone else. Pick good cards to get high fives.
So what is the craziest, most off-the-wall deck you've ever seen from someone else? Not the ones you've brewed.
Oh, wow. There was this really sweet deck that I saw on Emoto once. And it was like somebody was playing Counterbalance, Ethervile, Fairy Imposter, Sage of Epitir, and they were like bouncing blue creatures and like flashing in blue creatures to counter blue creatures and like stacking their deck and this crazy nonsense. It was kind of like that Travis Wu Crazy Dirty Blue deck, but like I was just like, he was playing Sage of Epitir, and like I love Sage of Epitir, but it was good. It seemed really powerful, and like that's probably for me the thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a hard question. I think apparently someone told me this is actually a thing. I didn't know it was a thing at the time, but there's a red-white stacks deck playing Nihiri and Planeswalkers and Gideon and all these other good things, and it's just main deck Leyline of Sanctity, and it was it was insane. It was great. I want to play it forever once I find that list. Someone send me that list on the internet or in real life.
I like bad creatures with like special effects, and you like Planeswalkers because they're good.
Yeah.
That's like the lesson
Oh, wait. The Planeswalkers I listed were over 4 mana 3 months ago. That wasn't a thing you could play.
I listed Sage of Epitir, let's be fair.
All right. Next question. Yes. Your hand is up first, so you get to go.
My name's Tim Hahn.
Hi, Tim.
My favorite card I actually have played with is Lightning Helix.
Okay.
Favorite card I have not yet played with is Geist of St. Traft.
Yeah!
This is so good!
You get a high five, awesome. Too. You have to come over here, though. You're farther away.
My question is, what are your favorite and least favorite deck archetypes?
Oh, interesting. For me, my favorite deck archetypes are usually some sort of tempo-y thing that has a really bad engine in the middle of it. It's slow, but it's like, oh, that's such a cool thing to do. So, it's kind of like a late-game engine in a bad tempo deck. And then my least favorite is, some sort of, really uninteractive, unfair kind of a thing. So, Amulet Bloom is a cool strategy, but, or Goryeo's Vengeance, but it's I can't actually play against you. You're just going to win.
Or turn one the Liana.
Yeah.
I'm the deck opposite. My favorite type of decks are probably decks. First off, it's unfair. You get James Brown while you're talking, and I get some weird school commercial. I don't know what that is. But favorite type of decks are often prison-y type decks. I don't like attacking people, and I like making it so they can't attack me.
Foolish.
And which is why Liliana Vale is so high. If I do have to attack people, I like it being an unstoppable threat of attack. So Vendrine, because he keeps coming back. And my least favorite is decks that when they attack early and then they run out of gas, and if you get stopped at any point, you just can't overcome that problem.
You hate those.
So like Infect, Affinity, Burn, Zoo.
I basically like those decks if they have the 4 or 5 drop late game built in.
Okay.
As something that should never be in the deck, because I was why did you just win then? And it's no, but I have insurance. That's sweet. that's what I like. Yeah.
All right.
Hi, guys. So my name is Shivam, and my favorite card in Modern is Basic Forest.
Sweet.
Nice. See, he took the joke back.
Look, man, it's it's all you need to make elves work, right? So, right.
It's true. It's true.
So what is your favorite Tier 2 deck? The deck that you know is never going to win,
right? Is that
like my beloved elves.
Can I pick Dredgevine? Is that Tier 2? Is it Tier 1 yet? Please.
My favorite Tier 2 deck? Probably for me it's Soul Sisters. But I almost I almost like Norrin Sisters better than regular.
Oh, the red white one. Yeah.
Some shenanigans. I also like Living End a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I have a question for you actually. So Forest is your favorite. What is your view on the From the Vault Dryad Arbor?
I do not like that.
Okay.
At all.
All right. Good.
I love Dryad Arbor. It's a really awesome card, but it's not a forest. It's got legs.
I feel like it has leg.
It's so deceptive.
And plus,
so
the future site frame looks so cool with Dryad Arbor.
True. Oh yeah.
So when you just have that just tree by, I mean, it sucks when you got a whole stud in forest and you're like, oh no, that one's actually an elf. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
It's fair.
All right. Next question.
Should we get one more?
No, we have time. All right, you go.
My name is Courtney.
Hi, Courtney.
For my favorite card, I'm going to go with Jack and say Emrakul.
Oh, nice.
I still have one in my sideboard because I have a hard time letting go, apparently. But my question for you guys is, what would you each say is your least favorite card in Modern?
Oh, wow. Least favorite card? It's a hard one because there was a long, long, long time that I would have said Blood Moon, but that's not true anymore. Because I just like.
I've argued on the internet that Blood Moon should be banned. I don't know if that's the least favorite card.
I would totally agree with you. I'm a Tron player, so please.
You have it easy. Talk to Junk. We're like,
all right.
I literally just can't win. You can cast spells eventually.
Eventually, yes.
I was always close to winning with Blood Moon. Like, I always thought it was really sweet. I would probably say, like, actually, my least favorite card is some sort of prison card. So, like, maybe, maybe like Ensnaring Bridge, or like Sphere of Safety, or like Ghostly Prison, like some like nonsense like that, where it's just like, okay, this is really fun until like, I don't have an answer because you're Fringe and I can't play Magic anymore. So like, you feel really clever, but like, my deck that I spent all this time on, like, should never have paid attention to your deck, and now can't play Magic. It's not even like I have a chance. It's like I actually can't play Magic. And you feel really clever. That's like one of those cards. It's a white prison card or white or artifact, but like, it's annoying. I do not fault the people that play it, but it's just like, it's not fun to play against.
Thanks, guys.
All right, questions.
One more question. Anybody else? Oh yeah, here we go.
Oh, we got.
Yeah, yeah.
We have 4 minutes.
Hi, I'm Michael.
Hi, Michael.
My favorite card in Modern is probably Gristlebrand.
Sweet,
sweet.
Or Emrakul, you know, just that life.
I can see what kind of deck you like.
Emrakul's taken already.
It eats my heart.
How many Goryeo's Vengeance have you cast in your lifetime?
In my lifetime? Many.
Okay.
Many. I don't have a question. I have a statement, and that is we need more top decking.
Sure.
Yes.
Oh, the show top decking.
Yes, the show top decking.
So you watched all of it?
I've watched every single episode.
Wow.
See,
I loved it. I need more of it.
So this
I'm
is,
dying
this is,
to know more.
This is the possible future of top decking. There is a chance, if I can work with a writer, or the writer that I had for the original seasons would work with me. He's in Prague now, teaching English, apparently. Apparently, they don't speak English in Prague.
Good on him.
There's castles there, though, which is cool. The chances is that we'll do maybe an audio play. I don't think we'll ever have a full video production.
I think I'm okay with that.
Okay. All right.
I think I'm okay with that.
All right.
Where did Fatalion end up? I can't even remember. He like got exposed.
You were good. You were like a good guy.
No, but then I got like dragged in the sweater, I remember.
Yeah. That was you turning not into a vampire. Your path to not evil.
I was like, I'm not a vampire. No! Something like that. I was a golem. I was like full of golem, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. Question. The last question.
Oh, here we go.
My name is Mikey.
Hi, yep. Mikey.
My favorite card is Gristlebrand.
Okay.
I love playing Goryeo's Vengeance.
Yep.
Quite a fun deck. Lantern Control versus Eggs.
Lantern.
Oh, God.
That was easy.
Which would you choose? Which would you choose and why?
Eggs is bad for Magic. Lantern's maybe not good, but I like that playstyle more.
I disagree. So,
would you choose Eggs over Lantern, really?
While I agree that Kessler is right in terms of which is healthier for Magic, I don't want to see the pass back and forth, the draw-go sense. I want to see if Eggs is going to win, I want to see Eggs just like, go and win that turn. Because it wins. It wins in one turn. So Eggs just... Otherwise, Eggs like passes and goes. Gristlebrand is...
Not Gristlebrand. Lantern Control.
Lantern Control is like... that is the slowest, most like draw-go deck ever.
Yeah, but you're playing Magic the whole time. You don't cast spells. They are casting spells.
Eggs is kind of the same thing, except Eggs is all of a sudden like, I'm going to win this turn. So, like, they go for it, and they win. Lantern Control is like, you should just probably concede, but, like, if you're not smart enough to know you should concede, you'll just keep playing, and I'm not going to tell you're dumb. So you just keep playing, and I'll keep going until you're done. And it's like, I get that that's the strategy, but most people will not accept it. And it goes so long, and it's so annoying, and it's not fun. I would take Eggs because Eggs is, like, smart. It's like Drago, 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 win.
Yeah, but it's not Drago, Drago, Drago. It's Drago, Drago, Drago. I'm going to take 20 minutes to try to win, fail. Then it's your turn. Then Drago, Drago, Drago. I'm going to take another 20 minutes, go to turns.
Eggs
and
is not
you should go to the bathroom while I do this.
Eggs
and then
is not,
maybe I won.
Eggs is not supposed to take 30 minutes. It's supposed to take 0, 0, 0, 0, and then you forfeit or I win. Whereas, like, Lantern, Lantern doesn't have, like, the hard choke. It's not like, oh, this is the turn I win the game, so I'll choke you out. It's like, we're going to go until you deck out, or I barely kill you.
There's more ways to stop Lantern. Yeah. Eggs, like, they go off. Everything's in their hand. Okay, but we don't have to get an argument about this.
But
good question. What's your choice?
Personally, I like eggs.
Okay. Yeah.
It's right. Exactly what you guys said. It's Drago, then you go for the win. Yeah. I do the same thing with Goryeo's Vengeance. So yeah. It's Drago, kill you.
Yeah, right. I'll take, if you're doing a solitaire turn, if it's one turn, I'll take it. I don't like, eggs is annoying because it takes too long. I don't like that.
45 turns of just sitting there is not fun for anyone.
Yeah, it's just they want you to concede. Goryeo's Vengeance, eggs, they never wanted you to necessarily concede. They knew they could kill you. Like, eggs usually wants you to just lantern wants you to just concede. If you don't concede, it takes forever.
All right, so on a happy note, we got one more question. I'm adding a question. All right, right here.
Hey, my name is Andrew.
Nice shirt, by the way.
Thank you very much. Guild best guild on top.
Yeah. Oh, yes, agreed.
That's Azorius.
Yep.
My favorite card in Modern is Elishnorn, Grand Cenobite.
A lot of Reanimator players out here today.
I don't actually get to play her. Okay. I actually play Infect, but she's still my favorite card.
Sure, okay.
She locks my deck out entirely. Yeah. But that's fine. That's how deep my love is.
Well, I mean, like, Elishnorn, if you're going to have a love-hate relationship with someone, an abusive relationship.
Yeah, she is a friend. I don't play Vapor Snack. But anyway, my question is, you guys talked about, you mentioned Ponder, you wish Ponder for Delver.
Yeah.
If you had to put a blue cantrip
sure.
into Modern, that you actually, huh?
I just had this conversation. Continue, ask the question.
You just had this conversation?
Yeah.
That you would put into Modern, what would the good one be? Not the best, not the strongest, but the one you think would be best for the format.
Yes.
Best for the format.
It would be
Preordain.
It would Preordain?
Preordain.
Yeah. Okay. So unban Preordain?
Ponder is better not good without fetches, this is a format with fetches.
Yeah,
so Brainstorm is obviously too good for everything.
Way too good.
Preordain is a slightly better version of what we have already, but it just adds a little bit more
it
to the format.
It doesn't add too much. I think you would be hard-pressed to add it without banning Serum Visions because I wouldn't want eight powerful cantrips. I think if you introduce Preordain, you would ban Serum Visions, and the idea would be you're making Delver a little better. You are increasing the power of the deck, but not because Serum Visions is gone, not by a great amount.
You're increasing the power level of decks that do slightly unfair things, for sure. But those decks aren't as bad as, say, Splinter Twin maybe had been, and so it is not as dangerous as it was.
With a non-ban format, where we're going to live with the format the way
Jace,
it is.
Jace technically with one mana can't help.
if we're going to live the way the format is, we're not going to be looking at aggressive bans. I actually think that Preordain over Ponder is a pretty strong move. Like, I think it makes the format a little more fun. I don't think Serum Visions is that good. I think Preordain's not that much better, but like, it's just, if you're not going to deal with readdressing the format, and none of the combo decks without Splinter Twin are that powerful, I think Preordain is fine over Ponder,
sure.
or over Serum Visions, and that would be, I think that's actually a good move. Like, it would probably take time, but eventually I could see that switch.
All right.
I heard a good suggestion on Twitter the other day, which was Opt.
Oh, yeah.
I love Instant.
No. We've talked about Opt forever. Opt is great. I definitely think Opt.
I love
this
Opt.
Yeah. I'm thinking ban list. You're right.
Yeah. Opt is, if they could reprint Opt.
I think Opt is the most likely, and maybe not Opt, but just Scry 1 instant speed draw card.
Yep. I don't
if
mind
that's
like,
a card that could be in standard, like I can't see that happening.
I don't mind Delver turn 1, turn 2, untap, upkeep, Opt, play a land, hold up and spell pierce or spell snare. Like, that seems fine. Like,
yeah.
In Modern, that seems totally fine.
So that's it for the cast. Everyone, I want to give a big round of applause, please, get to your guys' self for being here. Thank you.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much.
I want a big shout-out to the Patreon, because that kind of made a lot of this happen. Big.
You're welcome.
We'll do that. Yeah.
We have a Patreon, guys. It's the patreon.com/mmcast, and it's paid for new recording equipment, and, like, we're hiring a video editor, like, we send, like, cool water bottles and play mats and all kinds of signed cards. Like, it's amazing. You guys are absolutely incredible. So thank you so much. I can't even believe the crowd here is as big as it is. This is amazing. So we will continue to grow. And thank you.
That is true.
Yeah. All right. And, you know, I want to give a big thanks. So these guys just helped us out, set this whole thing up. They brought us to this pizza place. They, like, got the space. Everything they do is awesome.
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to actually bring one of you guys on. This is Jose. He's going to get to talk to you guys.
Oh, hey. How's it going, guys? I just want to say, like, honestly, from one Magic player to another, it's amazing to see everybody come out here and actually, like, you know, come together, bring the community together more and actually share what we all love and, like, all of our passions. I want to thank Ben and Alex for just being great hosts, great entertainers, and, again, just bringing you guys together so that we can, like, talk and discuss and create new relationships and, you know, talk about the thing that we love the most, which is Storm, right? Everybody loves Storm. Because Gifts Ungiven is the greatest card in Modern, I'm just going to say. So, again, I appreciate you guys
so much. That was your favorite card in name.
Yes, it's my favorite card, yes, forever, actually, now that I've seen it in play. But again, thank you guys so much. Thank you guys. You guys are amazing hosts. Continue to do what you do. Chase your dreams. Chase your passions. Literally everything with your heart. That's what we say. Thank you guys so much.
We want to announce really quickly that we will have an online store for merch launching within the next several weeks. We're talking multiple items. These guys are spearheading the whole operation for us.
They're Don't Make This Weird DM.
Yeah. DMTW, Don't Make This Weird. Okay. It's going to be a full merch store. There's a whole bunch of cool stuff happening. Most importantly, it's going to be what? DMTW.clothing?
DMTWclothing.com. DMTWclothing.com. Don't Make This Weird. Whatever it is that you do in life, again, do with your heart, chase your passions, and watch it become reality. That's what we're about.
You guys are going to find some cool items, some MMCast items for sale here in the next 3 weeks. They'll be all launched, and more conventions, things like that. So thank you guys for showing up.
I want to give a big shout-out to all of our accidental sponsors of Coca-Cola, James Brown, Harry Potter, and Universal Studios.
Herbalife.
Yeah, this is great. Thanks, LLI. Thanks, guys. One more shout out to all you guys at GPLA. I'm your host, Alex Kessler.
I'm here, Ben Bateman, guys. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to the mmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.